let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
We will not be driven by fear into an age of unreason if we dig deep in our history and our doctrine and remember that we are not descended from fearful men.
Talking shit talk.
Was the night before Christmas, the town was covered in ice. The cat was out hunting for plump harvest mice. The stockings were hung by the chimney with fright. Krampus would soon be there that night.
This show is recorded before a live studio audience member.
Welcome to Talking Shiitake. This is Christian.
This is Katie.
Boom.
Finally, we're famous, Katie.
We finally have a studio audience member. Thank you, member, for showing up to cheer us on.
Give Ms. Donuts and his cigarettes.
But not until after the show, otherwise he won't stay.
And donut, is donuts a metaphor for, like, some illicit drug? No?
Oh, I guess it could be. Little sugar.
That could have a different meaning, Katie.
Yeah, don't look that up on the internet.
Yeah.
That's not something you want to look up.
So what's new, Katie? It's been a while.
It has been a while. We've taken just a little bit of a hiatus.
Not by choice. The government shut us down. Wait, no, that wasn't it, right? It was all my fault.
There was some pressure. There was some pressure on us because we were getting too deep to the truth.
Too deep. North Korea sent us messages and hacked our Skype, and
they threatened us, really.
Yeah, and then we blamed it all on the guys that made that movie.
Yep. And we blame it in Sony Pictures, really.
Sony Pictures, yes, and they believed us. So, Katie, what's the latest and greatest in the world of California?
California's still here. The big one has not hit yet.
You enjoying those low gas prices?
The gas prices are the lowest I've seen in at least over a decade. It's insane.
Let me tell you, in Alaska, that's not a good thing.
That's not a good thing because you're not making as much on it. I mean, but I don't know. I think there's a lot of taxes involved in that, a lot of fees and a lot of, you know, other things.
We make a bunch of money off the rest of the country's obsession with fuel.
There's a lot of theories behind what's going on right now with gasoline and oil and the prices behind it. I would have to do a lot more research on it, but there's some crazy theories out there.
It's to punish Russia and to scare Iran, I think. That's my conspiracy theory for the week.
There you go.
So
as long as gas prices stay low, I think I'm okay with it.
I am not okay with it. I live in oil country. You know, people stress out enough about the world, and now they're freaking out about oil, the price of oil going down, and now they're not going to have the same amount of jobs and PFDs and all that fun stuff. Isn't that weird how that works?
But the prices were way overinflated, I guess, was the point I was trying to make earlier, that there's a lot of extra taxes and inflation on that should have never been there to begin with.
That sounds like a government issue, not an Alaska issue. We don't have all those taxes in Alaska.
One is not disconnected from the other.
That might be a fact.
It just may be.
But I have a solution.
What's the solution, Christian? Tell us.
Don't drive so much. I don't drive that much.
I think people have cut off. Honestly, I think people have cut way back on their consumption of oil with the use of electric cars and hybrids and people using more fuel efficiency vehicles and home units and that kind of, way less than we were before.
That's like foreign language. I don't know of any of those kind of vehicles in Alaska.
Maybe not in Alaska. No. California, they're pretty common now.
They have some pretty nice cars. I wouldn't mind having an electric vehicle.
They're actually really fun to drive.
You've driven one?
I drive one all the time for work. We have an electric Fiat that we drive around town, and it's super fun to drive.
That's awesome.
It is. It's really cool.
Next time I come to visit, I want to drive an electric car.
It's like a go-kart almost, where it takes off instantly. It doesn't have a hesitation. It's really fun.
So it takes off instantly and goes up to 30?
Yeah, no. It doesn't go super fast after that, but and actually it's fun. It's really zippy. Anyway, we're way off.
I know. It's so as we're recording this, it's the wonderful and joyous holiday season. And before we get into Katie's holiday issues.
Rant. Issues. Rant. I wouldn't call them issues.
Well, we'll let the audience be the judge of that.
Okay.
So I was surfing the internet today when I was probably working.
Mm-hmm, when you're supposed to be working?
I was working, but this thing popped up. It's ended up being, it's an article from CNN. Behold, Atheist, New Ten Commandments.
And it just captured your attention.
Yeah, because, you know, it's fun to listen to atheists, and it's fun to listen to people that are upset about atheists. It's just, it's pretty entertaining. But basically, it's just, they had this little contest. It's called the Enter the Ten Non-Commandment Contest.
Okay.
Where atheists were asked to offer modern alternatives to the famous Decalogue.
Okay.
And to sweeten the pot, the contest offered $10,000 to the winning would-be Moses.
Okay. $10,000.
Yes.
Okay.
The contest drew from 2,800 subscriptions from 18 countries and 27 U.S. states. The proposed non-commandments ranged from the quizzical don't follow your nature to thriving in space is the ultimate goal. Those did not make the final cut.
Those are good ones, though.
Yeah. A team of 13 judges selected 10 of the more sober and serious submissions. And the winners were announced on Friday.
And do you have them in front of you?
I do. I just want to let everybody know none of them are thou shalt. None of them say thou shalt.
Okay.
And there's nothing about murder, stealing, or adultery.
Okay.
So, here we go. Number one. Be open-minded and be willing to alter your beliefs with new evidence.
That's a good number one, so that you can accept the other nine, I guess.
Possibly. Two, strive to understand is what is most likely to be true, not to believe what you wish to be true.
Huh, okay.
Number three, the scientific method is the most reliable way of understanding the natural world.
Don't know if I agree with that, but okay.
I totally agree with that.
Okay, but we're talking about the traditional scientific method, and those methodologies don't necessarily include anything outside what we know in just, like, Platonic solids.
They will. You know what I mean? They will once they're able to measure the other things that you're talking about.
They may be, but that is not considered, right now, at this point in time, our general science methodology.
We are moving toward that.
We are, but we're not there yet, so that's why I say I don't
that's
agree
why,
with that.
That's why you have science, so that we can keep moving in that direction scientifically, and eventually they will be able to measure
but
all
what
the...
I'm saying is that science needs to open up a little bit, too, and broaden their horizons, maybe add in a little metaphysics in there in order to get further in science.
But
and until they're able to broaden their... Let's go back to number one, you know what I'm saying, where they need to open their minds a little bit, too. On both sides. You know, you can talk about religion being closed-minded and not accepting science, but you can talk about science being closed-minded and not accepting true science beyond that, like as in metaphysics.
Katie, I want you to go back to number one yourself and be open-minded and willing to alter your beliefs with new evidence.
I am willing, always willing, with new evidence to alter my beliefs.
So is science.
I disagree. That's where I disagree, because when you have traditional scientists will not look at certain things because they feel it's crazy voodoo.
It's not measurable.
It is measurable.
Only if it's pseudoscience.
Exactly. You see what I'm saying? You're calling it pseudoscience when it's actually not pseudoscience.
Bet you didn't think we'd go down the argument path with this one, huh?
Right?
It's just like the real commandments.
It's like the real
All right.
Okay, what's number three?
I already did number three. That was the one that got you all fired up and angry.
Okay, what's number four?
Every person has the right to control their own body. I like that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Number five. God is not necessary to be a good person or to live a full and meaningful life.
I mean, that statement may be true, but should it be a commandment? Because really, if you're an atheist, should the word God even be in your commandments? I would have to disagree with that. That made the charts. Honestly, thriving in space would be much better in that slot.
I think that's perfect, because they're what they're showing and is that you don't need to have that power to have a meaningful life.
I agree with it, and it may be even a true statement, but if it's an atheist Ten Commandments, then the word God should not be in there.
And maybe this is one of those, this is the weakness of this one, is that an atheist always has to bring up God.
Right. That's the
Like a religious person always has to bring up God.
Right.
So, all right, number six, moving on. Be mindful of the consequences of all your actions and recognize that you must take responsibility for them.
I like that.
That's a good one.
Real good.
All right, number seven. Treat others as you would want them to treat you and can reasonably expect them to want to be treated. Think about their perspective.
Very well said. That's a really good one.
Yeah, I didn't say it, but that's exactly how I would have said it if I wrote it.
I'm sure you would have.
Yeah. Number eight, we have the responsibility to consider others, including future generations. Global warming.
That's an interesting one.
Global warming and peak oil.
That's what you get out of that?
No, I just made that up. Number nine, there is no one right way to live. And number 10.
I agree with that. That should have been phrased differently, but go ahead.
Yeah. Number 10, imagine David Letterman's drum roll.
Here we go.
Leave the world a better place than you found it.
It's good. It's not original, but that's really good.
It doesn't have to be original.
It doesn't have to be original. That's good, though.
I mean, didn't all the commandments come from a different place pre whatever it was?
No, they were on those tablets in that burning bush. Don't you remember?
I was not there.
You were not there.
Yeah.
Supposedly. But even if you believe in the King Hammurabi, it actually came from his rules that he had written down. That was all in one place, basically. But
it was like 1,000 years before the Moses incident, wasn't it? Well, I don't know the exact amount of years, but Hammurabi was way before.
Yeah, he was way before.
Yeah, so... So, those are the future 10 commandments that will make everybody cry.
Is the world going to make the world a better place?
Yes, and we will sing about giving the world a Coke, and no one will go hungry anymore, and there will be no hatred.
And that's the song I sing?
Yes, among all the other ones.
I really do kind of want to break out in that whole, like, to buy the world a Coke song right now.
One of these days, I should just throw that into the podcast.
Buy the world of Coke, I know, yeah.
Do you think we'd get sued?
They might shut us down, but...
Hey, it would be worth it.
Yeah, we should try.
Okay, that's the plan.
Shh, don't tell anybody.
Yeah, don't tell anybody.
Our one audience member. Please don't tell anybody.
You know what? Now that we've had an audience member, you don't even have to let them leave the studio alive.
What? Don't we want him to come back?
Oh, can he bring a friend?
Yeah, if he brings a buddy, then he gets extra donuts.
I have a feeling that our most loyal listener, Zoe, brought him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I did hear Zoe barking.
Zoe always makes an appearance on the podcast.
Yeah, and all of a sudden Zoe brought
a friend. She's our loyal mascot.
I don't think you posted a picture of Zoe yet.
We should.
Yeah.
I'll post the picture, Zoe.
All right, Katie. You ready for this?
So.
It's Merry Christmas and.
Merry Christmas to you, Christian.
Oh, I said it's Merry Christmas. I wasn't wishing you one.
Oh, I thought you were telling me Merry Christmas.
I Are you going to yell at me if I wish you a Merry Christmas? Because that's not really.
No, I don't mind saying Merry Christmas. I like it. I say it all the time. Honestly, since November, I've probably said it 300 times.
You know what I do? Just to make all the Fox News listeners mad? Happy holidays.
And you know what? That doesn't bother me either. You can say Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa. I'm happy with all of it. That's the kind of thing that I kind of want to get into today anyway, is that the whole culmination of all the traditions that come together to create this time of year is actually kind of a cool thing. I used to have some animosity about it, but I've come to a place where I kind of understand it a little better.
You okay with Festivus too?
I'm okay with Festivus. I don't have a pole, but if I did have a pole, I would decorate it.
I have a pole, but that's another topic altogether.
Oh my God. Did you mind me ask if you decorated it?
Well, okay. All right, Katie, tell us about Christmas. Let's change the subject really quick before everybody gets a bad image.
I mean, I don't know what you think of when you think of Christmas. I mean,
presents.
It's kind of a stressful time. It's kind of stressful. I mean, there's a lot of shopping, and you're out, and you're in the hustle and the bustle, and there's so much going on, and it's dark and cold, and there's some, I don't know, I have some anxiety, I guess, wrapped around Christmas a little bit because of that time of year. It can put a lot of pressure on people, especially parents. You know, you're trying to make it the best Christmas ever, or that kind of thing.
And all the stores are telling you to come shop at them and spend all the money you don't have.
Bombarded with advertisement.
You know, advertisements can have their place. They're entertaining sometimes.
They become part of, you know, our culture and what we see and everything. But this time of year, it's just really overwhelming.
At this time of year, we should be selling to the birth of the Savior, right? That's what it's all about?
The birth of the Savior. Well, I mean, I guess that's what it's about to a lot of people, to a lot of Christians. But I mean, it's December 25th, as most people probably know, has been, I mean, that's been a time of celebration that way predates Christianity.
It's been in the Bible, right? Christmas is in the Bible?
Christmas is in the Bible. There's interpretations that Christmas is in the Bible. I mean, whether or not Jesus Christ was born on December 25th, nobody knows. I mean, I guess there's a 1 in 365 chance that that's true. But, which, I mean, it may be probable, it may be truth. I don't know. But the problem is nobody really knows if Jesus was actually born on December 25th. The reason that they say that is because of the whole star that they saw. Well, if they saw the star in the east, well, then the star in the east would have risen at this time, and that would have been the time of year that that would have risen. And that's the whole three wise men, which is actually was predates Christianity as well. The star in the east is actually Sirius, who basically the Egyptians had three deities attached to that star, which was what? Osiris, Horus, and who's the other one? There's another one. So it's just like the three kings, though.
Really? So basically, are you sure that they just didn't come up with that, the whole story of birth, to get rid of an evil holiday that happened to be before that?
Was there an evil holiday before that?
I don't know. That's what you're here to tell me.
Well, there's a lot of holidays. Like, there's a lot of supposed deities that was born on December 25th. Like, hang on. I got a list here. Mithra. Right? You know who Mithra is?
The set moth from Godzilla?
Not Mothra.
Oh, Mithra. Sorry. Mithra. Sorry.
Mithra, which is basically an ancient supreme being that was supposedly born on December 25th. Horus, who was also basically born to a virgin. That's kind of a coincidence, right?
Coincidence or a prequel.
A prequel. The Greek god Dionysus was also born on December 25th. Is that
one of my favorite?
That's pretty, yeah, right?
Isn't that the god of wine?
That's right. And that kind of goes with the whole celebration thing. You know, you're celebrating the birth of Dionysus, and he's the you know, not just wine, but I guess partying in general.
And everybody likes to party around Christmas time.
Right? Don't we all party around Christmas time? That's the dawn of the Christmas party right there. So when you're at your work Christmas party, now you know where it came from.
So I'm going to start throwing around that name and give me another bottle of wine.
Dionysus.
Yeah. So what you're saying is there's all kinds of different theories behind this Christmas date. Now,
well, I think there's a lot of theories behind the birth date thing, where these people are born on this day, which to me is kind of symbolic. This is not just a day that they celebrate them. This is their birthday. And isn't it weird that all of these have a birthday on that same day? And one of them was the Phrygian savior Attis. You ever heard of Attis?
He's never heard of Attis.
Very, very similar story to Jesus. He was born to a virgin, same thing, which is just like the other guy. He was killed and then was resurrected, right?
Kind of like Anakin Skywalker.
That's the exact same story of Jesus. I mean, some people say that came later and they tried to do a parallel between them, but supposedly that predates Christianity. He's also the guy who also cut off his genitals. He cut off his genitals because of some infidelity thing. And that's where the eunuchs get their ceremony from, Attis. So they do their castration ceremony in tribute to Attis.
That is strange. I've never heard that before.
So here, I guess the Christians didn't necessarily adopt that.
Now,
that portion of it.
I always got the idea that a lot of Christian holidays were replacing pagan holidays. Is that not true?
Well, I think that's, and if you look at it, this is interesting too, this Attis guy who was Phrygian.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what a Phrygian, there's a thing called a Phrygian cap. And the cap looks like it's soft, it's felt, and it like bends in the front, just like kind of like Santa Claus's hat. So when they would celebrate the birth of Attis, these Phrygians, that's what they would wear, is these caps. And so here's like a tradition that we're still doing. We're still wearing these Santa hats, where Santa Claus has a Phrygian hat on because he was celebrating the birth of Attis. So it really hasn't changed so much as the names have changed.
Weird.
Right?
Yes.
I think it's really strange. And it's more than just a coincidence. So what are we saying? Are we saying that all these other people didn't exist, that one religion? I think just people adopted belief systems from the previous people, and we do it today.
But then we call it the truth, right?
I guess that's where the problem is. I mean, is it folklore? Did it really happen? What really happened? What are we really celebrating? And like I said, I used to kind of get caught up in it, to where, you know, we don't even know what we're celebrating. But I think ultimately what it comes down to is this is a time of year that we need to celebrate something. It's the darkest time of the year. It's the longest night of the year. What are we going to do to make it through these dark times? And we have heat and electricity and everything now. So I don't think we understand how difficult it was to get through those times when we were living in much harsher conditions.
Right. We now have vitamin D supplements, happy lights, and antidepressants.
Exactly. Yes. And we have to include that in Christmas now. So now we have the celebration and all of these luxuries.
If you get the right blender, you can include it all together.
You can.
But you don't have to tell me about darkness. There's no sun here in Alaska for a while.
Oh, my gosh. I can't even imagine. So that's the thing, is it's hard to get through those dark times. And I think that we've chosen this time of year to celebrate whatever it is that we hold dear to us. We celebrate family. We celebrate our gods, our deities, our saviors. I mean, this is what we do. We chose this time of year to do it so that we can get through those dark times.
So where did the man in the red suit come from? Besides Coke?
Oh, geez. We're
besides
gonna get into
Coke.
Santa Claus?
Well, I mean, I know Coca-Cola, again, had something to do with it, didn't they?
I don't know, I think he predates Coca-Cola.
The Big Fat Man predates Coca-Cola. I know there was a Saint Nick.
There was a Saint Nick. I mean, there's a lot of folklore that goes back, and none of it has anything in actual evidence. I mean, you can look it up. Everybody, you can do all the research you want on it, but when it comes down to Santa Claus, it's a lot of myth and folklore, and to me, it comes down to the whole naughty and nice premise. I mean, that's what it is. We're controlling people. Are you good? Are you bad this year? I mean, then you have Krampus. Have you ever seen the story of Krampus, his counterpart, who goes and punishes all the children with a switch, looks like a demon and has horns and goes into your house at night when you're the bad children and he beats you with a stick? I mean, But what are we teaching our children when we're saying these stories? And we just copy and regurgitate them over and over. And like, oh, he comes down the chimney and he sneaks into your house. And personally, I've always kind of had an issue with Santa Claus. But
did you grow up without a chimney? Because I didn't have a chimney. I was really worried that he wouldn't come see me.
Were you? I think part of my issue is I found out there was no Santa Claus when I was about 5 years old, and my brothers convinced me that there was no Santa Claus. And at 5 years old, you're really wholeheartedly in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I remember.
So I was devastated, and I couldn't believe my parents would lie to me like that. Like, why would you make this stuff up? You know, it doesn't make any sense.
I remember the day I found out Santa Claus wasn't real. Now, our one audience member is not a child, so we don't have to worry about spoiling it for him, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's so much spoiling it for him. I actually never told my kid that there was a Santa Claus, so, you know, if you did, you did. Whatever.
No. So what makes you angry about this time of year or our celebration of Christmas?
You know, I try not to be angry at all about it. Like I said, I used to have some animosity because I felt that people were celebrating blindly. Like, people are just doing this because they've been told to do it, and they don't really know the true meaning of all of it's behind it. But when I look at the culmination of all the cultures that had to come together to create this, it's kind of bizarre celebration. It's actually kind of cool. I mean, even when you look at stuff like the Christmas tree, to me is actually... it's completely ironic to me because the whole Christmas tree premise comes from the fact that the evergreen survives the winter, right? So the evergreen is the only tree that basically doesn't lose its leaves. So it's the only green tree in the forest. So they would adorn this tree because they felt that this was symbolic of health and vitality and life, right?
Yeah.
So they would decorate it and they would worship it, and this is what kind of kept them, another thing kind of keeping them going through the winter. And so it turned into this whole, if you're sick, you put these branches above your doors to help you. And I kind of equate it to like how we have these trends, like these fads that we do, you know, like bran muffins. Now you got to eat bran. And now you have to have a kai berry. And, you know, we have all these health things that we do. Well, that's kind of what the Christmas tree started out as, where you take these branches and you'd hang them above your door in the wintertime when everybody got sick. And it was like a healthy thing, right? So then people started, like, cutting the trees down and bringing them in their house during this time. So here's the tree that we basically worship for surviving the winter. And we go out, cut it down, bring it in our house, and watch it decay. Is that completely ironic to you?
That sounds American to me.
It wasn't American. I mean, Americans adopted it later. But it was in Germany, and I think it started, one of the queens, I can't think of who it was, it's off the top of my head. One of the queens had one in her house, and it's kind of that's what was the popularization of it.
So like it's like when Queen Victoria got a dog, everybody else had to get it.
Exactly. So it was a trendy thing. So it's interesting that now we have these trees that we watch decay in our homes as a symbol of health and vitality.
Are you still staying with the murdering the tree, or do you just have a fake one?
Oh, I always have a fake one.
Yeah, me too. I don't know if it was a guilt thing, but maybe it was a fire thing. Maybe I don't want to give myself too credit. Like I actually thought about the tree's feelings or something, but fire scares me. So now I have a fake tree and it's just so much easier and no guilt.
I agree. I don't like killing the tree, although the trees are being killed, whether I do it or not. So it's funny to me.
So you mentioned that you might go on a rant. What makes you want to rant about Christmas?
I just rant about Christmas. I just think that we need to get to the heart of what it really is. You know, look at it for what it is. We've just materialized it and commercialized it to the point where it's lost its meaning. You know, when my kid used to ask me if there was a Santa Claus, I would say, well, it's really about the meaning of Christmas and the meaning of giving without recognition and without judgment. So you give a gift to someone with no name on it, and that's kind of the whole Santa Claus premise, where you give a gift anonymously, wanting nothing in return. To me, that's kind of where the gift-giving heart of Christmas really is. But then when you put all these judgments, like only if you're good and not if you're bad, and you'll get a lump of coal, and then they put all these judgments and parameters on it, and it kind of ruins the whole thing. So if we could just, like, take away a piece of that facade and get to the heart of what Christmas is, it's a time of year where we kind of need each other, and we kind of want to give thanks for people around us. One of the things, and there was a Saturnalia celebration. Saturnalia was actually the pagan celebration prior to Christmas on December 25th, and that was a whole pagan celebration where it really, that became the big celebration around that time, and the whole Yuletide thing.
Isn't it interesting that pagan has such a negative connotation even now, that it's like, it's almost like pagan is so much worse than anything we've ever had before.
I know. It was such a brilliant slander campaign against the pagans. But it's honestly, there's nothing, you know, of course there's a bad side to it, but there's a good side to it too. But during that Saturnalia celebration, what people, the masters would do is they would actually serve their servants those days. Like they would switch roles. And they would do something nice for the less privileged people. So then we have that whole kind of culture thing coming in. Now we give charity. We got the little Salvation Army guys out front with their bells and give to the needy, give to the poor, you know. So we've got that all wrapped in there, too, that we've got to kind of filter in this whole box.
So if we're getting all into all these, this confusing, I guess, materialistic things, what's the true meaning of Christmas then? I mean, besides getting together for protection and warmth if you're in the Arctic regions, how do we make the modern Christmas something meaningful that is actually that we can communicate with people now who are really busy worrying about the Xbox 360 or the Xbox One now that somebody should get me for Christmas?
See, you're already wanting something for Christmas.
Yeah, and
you know, it's become, you know, I think it goes without, it goes with everything else you do in your life. You do it with a pure heart, with good intentions, with really no harsh expectations, I guess. I don't know, right? Like, there's so much expectations on Christmas.
Well, I mean, we need Christmas to, I guess, hold up the American economy. I mean, that's one of the most important things you hear around after the end of the Christmas season is how much people spent and how that will get us through another year of materialistic richness or survival. Does that make sense?
It's true. And, you know, I don't have a problem with it because if that's what you're doing, again, with the purest of intentions, that you're going out and you're spending because you want to do something nice for people, I don't see anything wrong with that. And I guess that's where my whole, I don't really have an anger towards Christmas, where I'm okay with all of that, as long as we can, I guess, just kind of get rid of some of this ickiness around Christmas.
Like the war on Christmas? Is that a real thing?
The war on Christmas? Now that's a whole different thing. And you know, it's absolutely ridiculous. If people want to say Merry Christmas, then you say Merry Christmas. If they want to have a manger scene out in front of their house or in front of their business, absolutely let them do it. When they say the separation of church and state, we have totally reversed that whole thing, where it's not that the state needs to be protected from religion, it's that religion needs to be protected from the state. Does that make sense? I mean, we have reversed that and flipped it around to where it's absolute nonsense now.
I don't have a problem with a manger in front of somebody's house. I'm not sure about businesses. And
really?
I definitely don't want it in front of any state or governmental institutions.
For what reason? Because it's offensive?
I don't want...
What does it do to you?
It doesn't necessarily do anything to me at this time, but let's just say you were a different religion that didn't believe in that.
I don't care if they put a menorah. I'm not Jewish. I don't care if they put, you know, Kwanzaa candles. I don't care if they put an upside-down pentagram. Honestly, they can put a picture of Satan up there. I don't care. You know why? Because it doesn't affect me.
I draw the line at Baphomet. I'm just joking. But I know that's one of the... I thought that's one of the Christmas decorations that somebody had put up in one of the states because in whatever state it was, they were able to put up a religious scene. I just have... I just don't, I'm not a big fan of religion involved with the state. And it's not because I'm worried about it now.
What it might become?
Yeah, what it has been and what it might
be. It's embedded in our government.
I don't think it always has been.
I think it always has been. I think it has from, because if you look at the founding fathers, who were they? They were Freemasons, and they understand what religion was, and this whole thing was based on it. They absolutely based every single thing, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, all of it was based on Freemasonry beliefs, and those beliefs include God.
But those Freemasonry beliefs didn't include a Christian God.
That's true. But it was the freedom to believe in a Christian God. It was the freedom to believe in whatever God it is that you want to believe in, but it was based on a higher power.
Which I think is fine, unless you get the state involved.
That's what I'm saying. The state is already involved by the mere foundation of our government.
I think there was a little bit of separation there, though. I mean, they were okay saying God, but
Okay with you celebrating whatever God you wanted to, and right. You could do that openly and publicly without anybody chastising you for it. What it's based on, and I truly believe that that's what it should be. And you should be able to shout your God from the rooftops, and everybody say, okay, that's their God, whatever, that's what they want to believe. And there's nobody that should be able to tell them differently.
And I'm okay with that.
And they shouldn't be stifled in any way.
I'm okay with that, but keep the manger away from the schools.
Oh, my gosh.
It can be at churches. It can be at their, you know, their
house. If the community wants to put it in there, the school is a representation of the community.
The community used to like to string up minorities, though. Are you sure you want to go with the community rules there?
So I'm just saying the majority of a community wants to do something, that's what's going to happen. I'm not saying it's right or wrong.
That sounds like a slippery slope.
You're taking it down a different path.
Okay, let's go back to Christmas. Eggnog.
Eggnog.
Good for you or bad? It's so tasty.
I don't like it because I drank it with NyQuil once.
Oh, why the hell would you do that?
I was sick and I drank eggnog and then I was like, oh, I need to take some NyQuil. And I just never been able to drink eggnog ever again.
That is like, that almost makes me not ever want to have eggnog again.
Sorry, I didn't mean to ruin that for you.
No.
But that's what I'm doing. I'm ruining Christmas, right?
Well, I think somebody got there before you.
Somebody got there before me.
I mean, they've changed it to whatever it used to mean, it means something different now, and it's all about money, right?
I don't know. I think there's a progression there. If we can just separate ourselves, like, there is an aspect of that, but there is a goodness in it.
There can be a goodness in it.
It's up to us, really. It's all in how you perceive it and what you make of it.
That's true. So, what do you make of it? What do you do in your life to make it something good?
Gosh, you know what? The problem is I still try and do everything, you know, to make it good for other people.
Do you go to midnight mass?
I do not go to midnight mass.
You buy a bunch of presents. You spoil everybody in your household.
Right. Yeah. That's pretty much what I do.
Did you?
I do have I do appreciate the birth of Jesus, actually.
I thought that was March.
Well, I guess it's a time if you believe in Jesus, and I do to an maybe not to the exact degree of the Judeo-Christian form of Jesus, but I do believe that there were ascended masters that came here and he was one of them. And I personally feel a connection to that. So I'm okay with, I guess, part of that celebration.
Yeah. On a future episode, ascended masters.
Ascended masters. Look it up. There's quite a few of them.
Buddha. No.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, Buddha, Krishna, Muhammad, they could all have been.
Krishna, that's the guy in the airport, right?
Exactly. Take his flowers.
I've never seen one of those guys except for on TV.
like an airplane?
Yeah, it's like a television trope now, or it has to be in a movie. If somebody's in an airport, you have to see.
They don't really do that anymore, though.
No. They'd probably be called terrorist and full cavity searches.
Yeah. Post 9/11, that stuff doesn't happen.
No, nothing fun happens post 9/11.
Yeah. Well, anyway, look up Ascended Masters. There's a lot of people believe there's reincarnations of them, that, you know, they pop up at certain times in our civilization to basically help us evolve consciously.
So we need an Ascended Master now.
Do we?
Yes. I think we already...
I think we're still evolving from the previous Ascended Master's visit.
So Benedict Cumberbatch is not one of our Ascended Masters?
I don't know who that is.
Plays Sherlock.
Oh, is that his name?
Yeah, on the BBC version.
He could be.
He played Khan on Star Trek.
Yeah, he absolutely could be an Ascended Master.
Smaug on The Hobbit.
I don't know him either.
Katie.
I don't know The Hobbit.
You're not a geek.
I'm sorry. You are a geek.
I have my moment, yes.
So what is your feeling of Christmas, Christian? Your name is Christian. Have you ever felt like a weird affinity to the name, and because your name is Christian? Or did you feel an actual connection?
I feel like my name is exactly what it should be. I don't know how to explain it. I don't believe that there's anything special about me because of my name, or that I was given that name because I'm special. I just think that it fits my personality in a way. But I'm not a follower. I'm not at all religious. So it's kind of a weird thing. So I don't know. I think my name works for me, and I like it a lot. But I'm not sure there's any religious connections that can be made.
But do you feel almost like, oh, that's my name and it's overused, or that there's some...
No, being the Leo, I think I enjoy people using my name.
You're okay with the publicity of it.
Yeah, it's a... It doesn't affect me in that way. I mean, I get the question... You know, when somebody hears my name, I introduce myself. They're like, oh, Christian, are you? So I've gotten that a lot.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. That's interesting.
But, you know, you get used to that after a while. But, you know, I've always enjoyed Christmas. I think it's the little kid in me still.
What is it that you enjoy about Christmas the most? The presents. Just say it.
I love that. But it's, you know, as you get a little older, sometimes you find the joy in giving other people presents.
I agree.
And, you know, it maybe we're sending the wrong message by giving the presents we give, and maybe we're making ourselves more materialistic. But there's nothing like making somebody happy, and I think that's maybe what this time of year is about. We focus a little bit more on making people smile and making sure people in need are being taken care of than we normally would the rest of the year. When, to be honest, we're so busy working to pay our bills that we don't always have time to think about making people happy and not even making ourselves happy. So.
True. It's a lot of pressure, though, to try and make people happy. If it's such a time of year where we're trying to make people happy, why does it have the highest suicide rate?
Because I think a lot of people, the easy answer is people feel lonely, but I think with a lot of scientific evidence lately, we find that this is the time of year where without sunlight and vitamin D and all the things that make humans, I guess, thrive, I think there just becomes a disconnect, and it's really simple to blame it on loneliness, but it's a lot more than that. It's
a vitamin deficiency.
Vitamin deficiency, which leads to chemical deficiencies in your brain, and then it's from there on, it's just builds upon itself. And
which is funny, because that's kind of where the whole light thing comes from, where we tried to light it up, and we had tons of candles everywhere, and these festivals and celebrations and solstice ceremonies, and everything involved lighting tons and tons of candles to be able to illuminate the night, because we felt the light is what we needed. And then if you look around what we do today and all the Christmas lights and everything else, we're still doing that.
So what it could be is an evolutionary process where we realized at some point when we were maybe Neanderthals or coming out of caves, if you believe that we evolved, we needed that. That light made us feel better because you're in the dark of winter. And then it, all of a sudden, because of the way our brains work, we started giving it meaning that maybe wasn't really there. But as we developed, the meanings took on different, I guess, incarnations, and different parts of the world it meant something else. And then all of a sudden we have this wonderful thing called Christmas, and Jimmy Stewart and the Grinch.
The Grinch. And what happened to the Grinch? Christmas did what to him?
Well, before Christmas he was a mean one.
Right.
And then he was saved by the joy of, was it Whoville?
Yeah, I guess. And the Whovians. I guess they're not Whovians.
Whovians is another thing entirely, started by BBC. You know this.
I know. So yes, Whoville made his heart grow 10 sizes that day.
That is interesting.
So this, it's filling your heart with the love and joy of the season.
Now, what if somebody doesn't feel like they have that love and joy of the season?
Then they take medication?
That's a good, that could be a good start. I mean, there's, it is interesting because there is so much pain during what we almost think is the most joyous time of the year.
It can be hard, and it's really hard on family, especially if you've lost someone. I mean, it's because you think of getting together with family. And when there's certain voids within that family, it kind of highlights almost the pain, and that can be a lot to overcome.
And even if you haven't lost somebody, sometimes family is painful, and when you get them all together...
Lord knows.
You know, it's funny because I'm up here at work, away from home, from now until after Christmas, and sometimes I think I have it easy. Because I don't have to deal with a lot of that stuff. I work my normal shift on Christmas Day. They feed us really well here, and we get a good Christmas dinner. We might do some little gift exchanges and stuff like that, but I don't have all the other things that might come with Christmas.
But do you get homesick? Like, do you hear the I'll Be Home for Christmas song?
I can't stand Christmas music, so no.
I'll be home for... It's an interesting word. So I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on me. I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams. So
you know,
he'll be home for Christmas, you can count on me, but I may be only there in my dreams. So
you know,
am I counting on you, or are you just dreaming this? I'm getting mixed messages on that.
I was just finally listening to some of those words, and I don't even know what it was on recently. But I caught those words, and I was like, wait a second, I'm not sure this is a happy song. That was the first time I ever paid attention to it. This was just a few days ago, and it was kind of a funny... It's funny that you bring that up.
You know, if you really listen to some of the words of some of these songs, I know Buddha, Hockey Buddha, when he used to listen to that, I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, for years, up until very recently, thought that this mother was cheating on her husband and realized, wait, that's not because you hear that as a kid. If you really believe in Santa Claus, you're like, oh my gosh, my mother is kissing Santa Claus. What am I going to tell daddy?
That's interesting. Obviously none of those kids ever told daddy anything because they were afraid of not getting their gifts.
Right? Santa can get away with whatever he wants.
Oh my gosh, there's so much more therapy involved
Black
in this than I thought.
Children.
And here we are blaming the priest for it.
Right?
It's all Santa Claus.
Well, you know the whole Santa-Satan thing, so.
I don't think I do.
Well, you know, the whole letter of Santa. I mean, it's a little obvious. You know, wears red, makes you lie to your children. I mean, there's theories behind.
Ah, I see what you're getting at. I don't believe it.
You don't believe it?
No. It's reaching.
Well, you know, and then if we get back to, once again, the origins of St. Nicholas, supposedly, was this jolly man who gave gifts to children. I mean, we don't know that there was no pedophilia going on, but we're just saying that that was the folklore behind it.
Isn't it sad that every time an adult is nice to a child, especially an adult male, we automatically think something really bad is going on?
How sad is that, right?
Yeah, and when we really know that 9,999.99 whatever, that's not the case.
That might be a high percentage, but
yeah,
well, didn't you tell me a story about you on Santa's lap?
That was just a joke. That's... Well, my therapist tried to convince me it was a joke.
You blacked it out.
I did. Hypnotherapy does wonders.
Shock but therapy.
That was for something different. That had nothing to do with Christmas. Here we are.
Well, you wonder why we're a little strange. And these are the things that we're teaching our children.
We do teach our children some pretty crazy things. How are we going to fix this?
It's going to have to just fix itself, really. I mean, you can only control yourself and within your household. I wouldn't go out on some crusade to, you know, demonize Santa Claus. I think he's doing a good job at himself, so I'm not going to worry about that. It will evolve. It'll evolve into the next thing. Because if we kind of look at the progression of what we've just talked about, you know, it's just kind of taken on a little evolution every little step of the way, even back to the hat, you know, that thousands of years ago we're wearing this hat and we're still wearing that hat today. So there's certain elements that we've just kept along the way because it's been tradition. And I think that form of tradition helps us feel like we're connected to the past in some way, connected to our ancestors. And I think that's pretty cool. That's the part of the tradition that I really like about Christmas.
The tradition that's not real?
It's a real tradition. It's a tradition that you put this hat on every year. Whether or not that means anything, but you can go back and say, oh, I see, this is why we now wear these hats, because of the celebrations that happened, you know, 2,000 years B.C. Isn't it amazing that we've held on to those traditions?
Now, have we held on to them, or are we just making a connection there that's nothing other than it's winter, it's cold?
Right, that could be it.
And the hat protects my ears.
Okay, that's exactly it, too, because if we look at the people who celebrated Attis, right, that's probably what they were doing. It's just those were the hats they wore at the time.
Yeah.
Right? They were just being warm. They weren't wearing those hats in celebration of, like, Santa Claus, obviously. That's just the style at the time. So what do? We wear that style so that it helps us connect to what we used to have. Does that make sense?
Yes, but could it also just be we attached meaning to those hats that was never there and it kept carrying on? Or maybe somebody else came along and saw the tradition of wearing hats during the celebration.
That's it, right there. They saw so somewhere somebody saw a picture, probably. Like maybe there was this huge Attis celebration and somebody drew a picture of it and the people were wearing these floppy hats. So then later on, they're like, oh, this is a picture of that celebration. So when we celebrate, we're going to celebrate it with these floppy hats. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, that would... A lot of our religious ceremonies are passed down in that same way, wouldn't you think?
Right. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it in the sense that if we look at it for what it, just look at it for what it is, when we start attaching these crazy meanings to it, you have to do this or you're going to hell kind of thing, that's when I think we lose the truth behind it. Because now we're putting all this good and bad, naughty and nice crap on it. Well, we just need to look at it for what it really is. We're just celebrating the festivals and in honoring the people who started them by wearing our floppy hats.
that would make more sense. You know what? One of the things when you talk about like these traditions and all the lights, I am not a happy person when it comes to Christmas lights anymore.
Really? So when you see Christmas lights, you look at them with disdain?
Not quite with disdain, but I was hanging Christmas lights the other day here in Alaska. It was cold. It was dark.
Oh.
Half the Christmas lights didn't work. Bah yeah. Humbug.
So you were angry.
Yeah, I don't understand why we don't have Christmas lights, 3D printed Christmas lights that you can, that just print to your house. There you go.
They have it. They have those Christmas lights where you just put the little, what is it? The little controller part in the yard, and it does a projector. It's like a little projector, and it projects the lights onto your house.
Katie, this is not cool. You should have told me this a week ago.
It just came out. I just saw the commercial on television for it.
Everybody would have thought I was a god at the house if I would have set that up and it was all pretty. And I would have said, yeah, I slaved away. It was cold. But
I mean, you can tell they're not real lights.
But maybe they...
But it lights up the house and the trees. If you put it behind the trees, it like puts lights on the trees too.
Not cool, Katie. You just ruined my whole Christmas again.
Well, maybe you should watch more television.
Some of us have to work to produce the cheap oil the rest of the country gets.
Thank you for that, too, because that's really helping.
That's my Christmas gift to you and the rest of the states.
Aw, that's nice.
We're going to jack up the price soon.
So do you think we put a damper on Christmas?
I thought we had a couple good laughs. Dude, the bottom line is like anything we always talk about here. Your intentions kind of rule the world. If you want to make it a good thing, then there's going to be a lot of people, including yourself, that are going to feel good about it. They're going to gain from it. If you want to bring about the negativity like I was just joking about with the Christmas lights, it's not going to be good for you or any of your loved ones. So if it's a little bit rough because it's dark, grab some extra vitamin C and fake it a little bit and follow it up with therapy if that's what you need. I mean, you just got to keep plugging along if you can and find that there's a lot of good things in it. And if somebody's suffering, I mean, that's one of the things that we see happen a lot. People look out for those that are suffering this time of year.
And so, that's, I think, what we all should do.
Yes. And not just forget about it after Christmas. If we can do it all the time, look out for those that are suffering, and we start making this place better. And maybe that's the message that we hear in a lot of the Christmas stories. And even, no matter whether it's religious or not, I mean, there's a lot of good to Christmas. It's just, it's different than what we have been led to believe, I guess. We've grown up with, I mean.
Who chose to believe it, though? You know, and that's one of the things, I guess, the point I never really did make earlier, is that we have the right to go back and investigate what we're believing. You can blindly believe what you want to believe, and if somebody hands you a group of folklore, you can take it, you can leave it, you can research it, you can drop it. It's entirely up to you. So we can't really blame anybody else for our belief system.
There's no reason to make it a bad thing, no matter what anybody believes, you know. If they're not hurting anybody, then it can be a good thing.
I totally agree. Enjoy it. I say enjoy it. Buy each other gifts. Have a great time. Be thankful. Always go into it with total grateful heart. Appreciate what you have. Appreciate what is around you. Even if it's not the best of times for you right now, then appreciate the fact that next year will be better, or appreciate the lesson that you're learning from that.
I always find this is the time of year where I automatically find myself being like a child. No matter.
It does kind of bring the child out in you. And if that is the only thing that it did, that would be worth it.
Yeah.
Because we all need to bring that little bit of child out in us.
Yeah.
It didn't come out right, but you know what I mean?
Right. With the wonder and the optimism and the beliefs. You know, that's one of the things you see with children is they can suffer through a lot of things and still smile. And
very resilient.
Yes, and if we're able to get ourselves back into that mindset where there's still magic in the world, it does make it more enjoyable.
And that's one of my other issues with Santa Claus. I'm glad you brought that up, Christian, because people say, you know, but it's the magic of the belief in Santa Claus. Okay, what happens when that child is now knows that there's no man that comes through down the chimney and gives you gifts? Now the magic is killed. The magic is dead. What you've done now is now they're not going to believe in anything, right? How do we know any of the rest of it's true? Because you lied to them about this the whole time. So that makes them disbelieve everything, which to me is the biggest detriment of Santa Claus of the entire thing, is that now they don't believe in magic when actually the true magic of the universe actually really does exist.
What if that was the whole...
And it is,
the whole point of it is to make them not believe in magic and drive them back to their place, their family's place of worship, and go back into the flock.
That is 100% it.
Yes, and because that is, I guess, true belief, while the other one is just magic.
The belief in...
In whatever religion they're drawn back to at, because they've lost their love of magic.
Their true power.
Yeah.
Now you don't even believe in the magic that you really do have within yourself.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now it just doesn't exist to you anymore. So you're not going to look towards that and don't want to go the other way, because if you're naughty, you're not going to get any presents. It's almost bribery at that point.
Ah, that makes sense.
Right?
It teaches you to become a sheep and follow the flock.
It teaches you to conform.
Yeah. George Orwell, I wonder if he celebrated Christmas.
That's something we'll have to find out.
And that one I would suggest, I think everybody should go through and just read the history and the beliefs, no matter how crazy they may seem. Then you won't be affected by the news on television telling you there's a war on Christmas, or telling you that you can't have your religious beliefs because it's a imaginary man in the sky type of thing. I think knowledge is power, and we spend too much time not getting the knowledge we need.
I agree. Well said.
So what'd you get me for Christmas?
Exactly what you deserve, Christian.
Sweet. I'm finally going to have a throne.
A throne.
Yes.
That's right.
And not just not a porcelain one, right?
And not a porcelain one. You will be thrown. How about that?
Did you get me the kind of throne with an automatic flusher?
That's right.
Where you stand up and it just flushes?
It has a bidet.
Ooh, I've never had a bidet. It'd make me feel rich. And fresh.
And those are the kind of things that we feel around the holiday season. Anyway, well, I think we've destroyed and massacred Christmas enough today. Is there anything else you want to talk about on that?
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Kwanzaa, Festivus, Hanukkah.
Well, Ramadan.
Yes, and all the other pagan holidays you were talking about.
Yuletide, Saturnalia, Suprema, Attis, happy birthday. Osiris, Horus. I think that's, and Jesus. Almost forgot that one.
You almost lost our sponsorship from I don't know what church was sponsoring us, but we almost lost them.
Yeah, we almost lost them.
Damn it, Katie.
What? I'm sure they'll be found.
What is Saturnalia just does not seem like a fun word.
Saturnalia, that was the Greek celebration, Saturn.
Ah.
And so they would celebrate. And that's actually where it became very popular. That popularized this season, really, is Saturnalia. And they would light tons of candles, they would dance, and they would sing songs. And that was a full-on Festivus for the rest of us.
We need to make an American holiday based on Mars.
Mars, huh?
Right. I mean, it's a good war god. And we like to war.
We like to war.
And war will raise the price of oil, so we'll all be happy except for the people that drive a lot.
It's going to be a tough marketing campaign on that one.
It could be, but...
there's got to be a twist to it, I'm sure.
Yeah, if we don't come up with it, someone needs to come up with the Mars holiday.
The Mars holiday. Yeah, we're going to think about it. If you have a Mars holiday that you'd like to kind of put together, maybe do some research on Mars, the god, the war. There's more to it than just that. So there's a connection between Earth and Mars. Maybe when Mars lines up with Earth in a certain way, maybe that's the day that we celebrate it.
And it'll be like the anti-Christmas. Instead of giving gifts, we will take things.
We steal. It's the stealing holiday.
We won't call it stealing. We'll call it protecting people and bringing democracy to their homes.
For their own good. It's for their own good.
Right. Their children will now have the ability to veto something that mom and dad thought, because it's democracy. They get a vote. They want ice cream for breakfast, they get it. There we go. That's how we do it. We just go to the kids. You can have ice cream for breakfast and cookies for lunch. And for dinner, I don't know.
Take something?
Well, no. Dinner, they can eat whatever they want to also, but then we take something.
Then we take something. We're going to have to work on that one.
Sounds really evil. Maybe we shouldn't do that.
It sounds really evil.
Okay, cancel the Mars celebration.
I think we already have Krampus. Krampus is the evil guy that comes in your house, as opposed to Santa Claus when you're bad.
That's just why do they come up with such weird names?
It was like German or something.
Oh, you're just gonna go there? Go against German language.
Everybody, you speak German. You should know about it.
Nine.
Nice.
Let me see. How would I say it? Ein bisschen Deutsch. That sounded kind of good, huh?
What was that? What does that mean?
A little German?
A little German. How about Frohlich Weihnachten?
I don't know what that one means.
Merry Christmas.
Yep. I still don't get it.
What? Frohlich Weihnachten? Maybe I'm not saying it right.
You know what? I think you are. Because somebody actually wished me a Merry Christmas in German and it sounded something like that.
There you go. See?
Strange. Strangeness. So, say it again and I'll just pretend that I'm saying it.
Frohlich Weihnachten.
All right. Do you know any other languages with that?
Melikalikimaka.
What the heck is that all about?
That's Hawaiian. Merry Christmas.
Is that a different country?
Hawaii.
Never heard of it.
Hawaii?
Oh. Wait, that's that place where our president should have got his birth certificate from.
Oh, he went there. He went there.
Oh, man. Sometimes I'm the only one that thinks I'm funny, but...
You are, too.
Let's see.
Feliz Navidad.
And, yes, I do know that one, but... All right. I was going to totally try to find if you were right on your Merry Christmas, but I can't find it.
I am right.
Oh, you're going to do that again. So what do you think, Katie? We rambled enough?
I think we've pretty much destroyed Christmas.
We didn't destroy Christmas. Corporations like Walmart destroyed Christmas. And Thanksgiving. They're connected.
They're all connected now. Now that we have Frankenstein up next to Santa Claus, it's all... And imagine in 200 years. Okay, let's just take this. A few hundred years in the future, where now we have this whole season, right, wrapped around Frankenstein, pumpkins, eating, Santa Claus, Jesus. Like, it's going to become one thing. Like, pretty soon you're going to have, like, Franken-Santa or something. You know, it's going to, like, morph into something completely different.
And they're gonna get the fat red man in the red suit, and they're going to eat him.
And he's going to have a pumpkin head.
Yep. And then they're going to shock him, and they're going to be like, he's alive.
He came back to life.
Damn.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So we'll see what happens, or we won't. But wolf, you know. Somebody will find this podcast a couple hundred years from now and go, holy crap, they nailed it.
Yes, and now we know why we eat the fat man. I don't know if
there you go.
That's not really politically correct.
Here's to eating the fat man. Cheers.
And with that, we wish you all those happy holidays. Till next time on Talking Shiitake.
Was the night before Christmas, the town was covered in ice. The cat was out hunting for plump harvest mice. The stockings were hung by the chimney with fright. Krampus would soon be there that night. The children were scared and awake in their beds, while nightmarish visions loomed over their heads. We were like prey caught in a trap, and could not settle down for a long winter's nap, when out of the lawn arose such a splatter. I sprang onto the floor to see what was the matter. Away to the window I crept very slow, slid open the drapes, and spied a murder of crows. The crimson-red moon on the breast of the snow gave a stain of dried blood to the objects below. When what to my watering eyes should appear but a jet-black sleigh and 8 sinful reindeer, with a grisly old driver with sharp horns and long claws. There's no way that this beast could be Santa Claus. More rapid than owls, diving on prey, he howled and he roared, and I heard him say, "Now Slasher, now Wrathful, now Gorgon and Putrid, on Cyclops, on Rabies, on Goner and Blitzkrieg. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now swoop away, creep away, slither and crawl." As dry leaves torn from trees, the wild cyclones spin, ripping up shingles, flying in sin. So down to the housetop, the cursors they flew, with a sleigh full of booty, and Krampus too. And then in a dimming, I heard on the roof the scraping and pawing of each bony hoof. Each of his nails scratched brick and made sand. In a pile full of dust, with a thud, he did land. His claws were long, and the tips touched the floor. The wood they scraped splintered and tore. Mortar and ash clung to his nails. His fingers were swollen, frostbit, and pale. The teeth in his mouth were as sharp as a pin, his cheeks skin and bone, his nose long and thin. His devilish horns were drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his face was as black as charcoal. He was dressed in roadkill from his head to his toes, and his clothes were stained red from skinned bucks and does. An empty birch basket was flung over his back, and he was a peddler opening his pack. The stump of his pipe was made from a moose, and the smoke it encircled his head like a noose. He had pus-colored eyes, we dared not to look, and we terribly feared this soot-covered crook. He was brawny and cruel, a wrong evil old elf, and I screamed when I saw him, in spite of myself. No wink from his eye, scratching lice from his head, soon gave me to know I had something to dread. He wrecked our halls and filled up his sack with bad girls and boys and other knick-knacks. He spoke not a word as his beasts did his work and put coal in our stockings, then turned with a jerk. His serpent-like tongue hung out of his jaw, and giving a cackle up the chimney he crawled. He stomped onto his sleigh, to his team gave a slur, and ripped up the roof like he was removing a burr. But I heard him exclaim as he drove out of sight, "A black Christmas to all, and to all a dark night."